Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas in for Carl today. Carl's voice, it's weak, Godfather, it's weak. But he'll be back tomorrow. And then on Friday's show, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Today, though, we are in Paulding County, you Paul Dingers.
Yeah.
You Hiramites. What a great scene, man. We're meeting folks from Dallas, from Powder Springs, even from Standard Plains as well, which reminds me, that's where Dusty Rhodes' house was, by the way, in the old days. From Standard Plains, Georgia. But, yeah, having a great time.
And how many wings would Dusty put down this afternoon?
The American dream would never, ever be challenged by 20 or 30 wings. You bring me 50. He would tell stories about going to, like, New Orleans with Andre the Giant when we'd have him on the radio in the old days. And he would drink, literally, he would drink a case of wine. 6 dozen oysters, fried oysters. Yeah, I mean, he would just tell the story. You'd be like, holy shnikes. But we are live here at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. And Chris is doing a great job filling in today. Jersey Mike is pressing the buttons. Warren's back at the ranch. And you know where you are. This hour is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. A couple of stories we've been kicking around. Talking about the Falcons. Really getting a lot of passion. A lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. A lot of stuff on social media. Carl has put them up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Chris?
Yeah, I'm at C. Thomas Radio.
A couple of guys saying, you haven't mentioned Deontay Johnson. Well, who cares about – we talked about him yesterday. Just because it's on the front of ESPN doesn't make it a story. The Ravens just signed Deontay Johnson, which may be an effort to keep him off another team. I don't know. He's not even eligible to play for the Ravens.
I was just about to say, yeah, guy who tweeted that in, read the second line of the story.
He can't play.
He can't play.
Deontay, so now he's on four teams, five rosters in one calendar year,
yeah.
Basically. Less than that. We've talked about it. Just the quintessential kind of pain-in-the-butt wide receiver. You don't want to paint with a broad brush, but, man, he deserves the heat. I mean, it's just, my God. It's like Antonio Brown somewhere should start a school for these guys. You know, here's what you don't want to do. And Deontay Johnson, and that's why we joke around about Mike Tomlin always having to deal with these knuckleheads year after year. He became somebody else's problem with Carolina and then eventually to the Baltimore. Baltimore said goodbye. Then to Houston. Houston said get lost. And then the Ravens.
As we mentioned yesterday, by the way, Mike, he said don't even call.
I
ain't going nowhere.
Hey, man, we were starting the show today talking about being at State Farm Arena last night. Great atmosphere with the Suns. Two teams at 500. The Hawks are now a game over 500. Bad news is now part of our daily download.
Story number one.
Yeah, man, the Hawks get it done last night. Trae Young goes for 43 points. Onyeka Okongwu with 22. Defensive 10 offensive rebounds last night.
Yeah, and if he could do that consistently, Mike, you'd be able to find a trade partner for Clint Capella ASAP.
Right, and that's the rub. Look, Carl is a bigger – not that I'm anti-Okongwu. Carl's always been a bigger fan. I think his ceiling is this. Once every five games, he does this. But he's never going to do this 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5. Carl thinks he can still get there. Nothing against Capella, guys. This isn't nothing against the personality. It's an expiring contract. If you don't move Clint Capella before the trade deadline, he walks next year, unless you want to bring him back. Probably
no,
not.
No.
And we love Clint. He's been a warrior for this team. We got some great years, including the 21 playoff run, but he misses everything within 3 feet. And it just, unfortunately, just drives you crazy. I'm sorry, Orrin hasn't even played the Steve Holman cut about Capella yet. We always have plenty of Steve anxious moments covering the Hawks.
Steve Capella has butterfingers.
Thank you,
Orrin. I was about to say, I'm thinking Steve might be in a little bit of hiatus after laptop gate yesterday.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of Steve calling Capella butterfingers, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, real quick for guys who maybe missed the 5 o'clock hour, we're doing the Falcon Report, and of course Steve is there early at State Farm Arena. He's going to call the game at 7:30. So Steve comes in, we see him, we motion him over. Steve sits down where Chris puts his headphones down on the table. Steve comes in literally like the Kool-Aid man, grabs the headphones, yanks the cable, and the coffee goes flying all over Chris's computer. And then Steve goes, "Oh, blank." And we're like, "Orrin, hit the dump button." So it was like literally expletive deleted. Steve literally came in like a house of fire at 5 o'clock. We always love talking to Stevie. He did have some great calls. Speaking of Steve, let's hear some of those moments for Onyeka Okongwu as he was doing it on both ends, but mostly just making things happen offensively last night.
Here's Beat all the way through to Onyeka, who jams with two hands. Onyeka Okongwu with 20. Nice play by Beat. 101-97, Atlanta leading.
Now, again, when you've got guys like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and his burner account, they were going back and forth. They had big nights, but I thought the Hawks really kind of showed you what they're capable of doing, or what Trey's capable of doing without Jalen Johnson, with a bunch of guys banged up. And I thought Trey was on fire last, and the three-point shot's kind of starting to groove, isn't it?
And that's the biggest bugaboo for Trey that has been all season.
Right.
And he has just not been able to consistently find the three, and he was able to nail it last night. I think he went 50% from three last night, which is great, obviously. And then you combine that with what Double O did. But here's the thing. One step forward, two steps back. Because if you look at this injury report tonight, Mike Bell, it is unbelievable. Bufkin, Hunter, Johnson, Nance, Reese Shea, Zeller, who's been not with the team, and Trae Young, all out.
Yeah, Trey's got ribs. I didn't see when he got the contact because I was drifting back and forth last night going round and round. But he did put up some big numbers, 43 points for Trey. And it was funny because at the end of the show, as we were wrapping up last night at State Farm, I said to Chris, "Hell, man, Trey, take all the shots."
Yes.
Which is kind of what he did. Let's hear from Trae Young on stepping up when you got dudes that are banged up.
I know what we got in this locker room, and I know what we're capable of even when guys are out. That we can go out there and make some noise and make plays, and that's what we did tonight. But we always got to give a little bit more, including myself. I can't just ask everybody else to give a little bit more when guys are out and not expect myself to do more or not want that for myself. So that's something that, I mean, I take on myself too. But we all play a big factor in giving a little bit more whenever those guys are out.
That's leadership.
Yes.
See, this guys, remember we were going round and round a couple years ago about Trey? And I said leadership, and you guys are like, "Hey, man, he's putting points up. Who cares?" That's what we're talking about. That's Trey. Like, we all grow up. I didn't grow up until I was 45, okay? You know, yeah, he called me a hoe. It happened. But, I mean, yeah, I was just saying, let's get more of that. Let's be, you know, better every night. But this is Trey growing up, being the man. And it was funny because we say all the time, said it last night at the end of the show, know when to facilitate and know when to dominate. Well, who are you going to give the assist to? Veet Krejci? Now, granted, Veet did go for 15 last night, 3 of 6 from 5. Gary Bird, Garrison Matthews, finally found his three-point shot. He was 2 of 8, well, not really, 5 of 8. It was Bogey was hot garbage last night. Bogey couldn't hit a shot. So Trey's got to take all the shots, but that's knowing as a veteran. Okay, guys, I don't have the star power. I've got to heat up. Heat check. And Trey had it last night.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And Mike, the other bugaboo we keep harping on it because nothing comes out. What the blank is going on with Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, I asked you yesterday, when is that injury report? Is it going to be extended? If you got a rest, whatever the designation is, it's a little bit different than the NFL or MLB 21 I day IL, exactly. All right, it sounds to me like maybe we got to rest and watch with the All-Star break. I don't know. Jalen Johnson has not been on the floor now. It's become a thing. It's a problem. So let's get this thing straightened out. I don't know, and Carl said it all the time, get him some shoes at work. Because remember last year was the ankles. It just seems like last year we couldn't get, if we're honest, both he and DeAndre Hunter on the floor at the same time, and now it's cropping up again. So to Chris's point, It's one of those dreaded back-to-backs. This might have been one of those nights we're going to rest everybody anyway. Well, they made it easy with half the team out tonight. So the good news is the Skyhawks are right next to the airport. They all hopped on a plane to Chicago.
Yeah, Keaton Wallace, who's been their best player and has had a couple of cups of coffee with the Hawks, as well as Mo Gay. We'll see. Mo Gay was a guy I thought may be able to crack this team a little bit, get some minutes as a big man, and we'll see what he can do.
Hey, man, story number two, it's the National Football League.
Story number two.
By the way, anybody who says Nash, just say NFL.
That's a tool move.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's a tool move.
You know, when you're talking about the national football, just say NFL. We know. The league. Pro football. You know, when you're talking about the national football, just, you know, it drives me crazy. We know what it is.
Everybody wants to be the deep voice guy on Westwood
One. It's one of my pet peeves. You know, just say we know. Yes, the NFL. It's easier. You know, it's like a guy we know works down the dial.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Journal and Constant. Did you say AJC?
Yep.
Buck Ballou. Anyway, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. Story number two, talking about the playoffs. No, we're not in it, but there are teams in it, and a lot of folks feel that the Chiefs, they're in a perfect position. You know, yes, it hasn't been sexy. When you're going for a three-peat, no one's going to remember what you did in week six
nope.
or week 12 or how many times the refs bailed you out, which they did. But, hey, champions get the call, right?
Yeah.
But now, have you seen some of these memes where they're trying to make Travis Kelce look like he's the before in a before and after weight loss photo? I mean, they always say, like, Travis is out of, and it's all the typical nonsense you get. You know, I got to tell you why Travis is out of shape. It's Taylor Swift. She's feeding him bonbons in Paris. I'm not going to buy that. Now, if he goes without a touchdown and they lose to the Houston Texans or he can't move the chains, we can have that conversation. But I thought that was kind of silly to see some of the things that was out there on social media the last 2 days.
Yeah, that's been a narrative ever since they got together in terms of using Taylor Swift as an excuse for a perceived precipitous drop-off for Travis Kelce.
Right.
But, Mike, when you go back and you actually look at the numbers, as we like to say, he had another great year. I believe he was announced as a Pro Bowler again this season, so I'm right. not ready to sit here and say that Travis Kelce is done. He had 850 yards and 100 receptions.
Yeah, how many did our boy have?
Mike, do we have? I mean, the show's almost.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I know. We're not going to, you know what? We almost went an entire show without crapping on Kyle Pitts.
Work here. What?
I'm sorry, Kyle. One more time, Kyle. What's that?
Also, I just work here.
You just work here. Hey, man.
You think he submitted his request for defensive coordinator, Mike? You think he put those in? This is who I think we should hire.
Hey, man, the Rams. I like the Rams. You like the Rams to keep it close in Philly?
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is still looking rusty.
Matt Stafford's playing better than Hurts right now.
Now, it's easy to say take away Saquon Barkley with those monsters on offensive line, but if you can try to minimize Saquon's impact and force Jalen into making some – look, A.J. Brown wasn't even a factor in this game.
No.
If you can take him out of this game, I like your shot. Rams, look, Sean McVay, this is the coach you want. And, I have no problem. That's why I was excited about Zach Robinson because I thought, hey, everybody, literally everyone who's fallen off of the Sean McVay tree, it's gold. And I like him. Now, Raheem was there as a DC, and we wish Raheem had picked up some of the strategical things, the strategy.
Strategery.
Yeah, at the end of the game. But I just think when you get into, like, matchups and creating the things they're doing, and Shula's, you know, grandson is the DC, it's amazing how the Rams just kind of find themselves where they are. Because you know why? That's a strong franchise. Even in a year where they looked awful for the first half of the season, they find a way. Bad teams find a way to go 6-3 and shoot yourselves in the foot.
Yeah. Mike.
Sorry, I know it all goes back to the Falcons.
Yes, you're right. The Rams are over the – I mean, if you look at them basically going back to even the first couple of years when they got it together with Jared Goff, they've been consistent for the better part of a decade now.
Right.
And that's something we would dream about here in Atlanta.
I know I mentioned it on Monday's show, but just to rewind, think about this. Aaron Donald, one of the greatest defensive players of his generation.
Ever.
So they play their first playoff game without him, and they get 9 sacks.
Yeah.
Because they what we didn't do in the second and third round, they knocked out of the park the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Les Snead, man.
He's great. He's a great GM. And you know what the thing is, too, Mike? It's worth repeating again. I said it once again earlier in the show. Terry and Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean,
yep,
and Jared Verse are all still in the playoffs.
Right. Now, all guys, we took Penix, so that conversation's a moot point. Much like Micah Parsons, there was no way we were going to take Jared Verse at 8. You know, unless you could trade down and you need a partner to do that, and we'll never know. And you can always say, well, we couldn't find a partner.
No.
Again, no way to know one way or the other. But Jared Verse, I told you, out of Florida State. This guy was in Albany. Not Albany, Georgia. Albany, upstate New York. And went to Florida State. And this guy, I've seen so many Florida State players quit over the years when they're ready for the NFL. Not to name. Okay, I can name. I'm not going to name names. I'll be miserable about it. But there's a couple of defensive backs and safeties that are, anyway, it doesn't matter. Neither here nor there. This guy kept it going, was a rock star. Braden Fisk, the same guy. And they're both on the Rams.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
And that's not even mentioning their other interior defensive tackle who you just said basically replaced Aaron Donald's production level.
Right, man. Hey, final stories, the Falcons. Who's going to be the DC?
Looks like could be your guy, Jeff Ulbrich, because they completed an interview with him today.
Jalen Ramsey is the Florida State player I'm talking about.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Well, we were all dancing around it, Mike Bell.
Jeff Ulbrich, love the guy, great guy. They call him Brick. No thanks. I want Steve Wilks. I want Dennis Allen on a phone call. They've already talked to Lou Alarumo, and they've talked to Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale's a good defensive coordinator, guys. I don't know what your stigma is with him. Go look at his resume. Pretty solid piece.
Yeah.
He got into a fight with Dable. Nobody likes Dable with the Giants.
No, he's a real piece of
you. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe here in Hiram. And, man, we got a full dining room. We're in the back, Jack. Come and join the party here till 7. It's the Wing Bash. Stuff your face, pal. We'll come back with Matt Verderam. Go around the NFL. Dukes and Bell, guys, we're in the fifth hour of the show. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Full house, man. We're having a great time at Buffalo's Cafe. We're in Hiram, Georgia. We're in Paulding County. And based on the response, I think we're coming back, Chris. Chris is in for Carl, who's jacked up with the pipes. We'll be hitting the road on Friday, guys. Twin Peaks in Buckhead. So come down and say hi. Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our buddy from Sports Illustrated covers the NFL, Matt Verderam. Matt, you're the Falcons. Who are you going to hire as your defensive coordinator?
I didn't get Lou Anarumo. I'd hire him yesterday. I think he's by a mile the best coordinator out there. I know the Bengals have struggled. I get it. If you look at who he's had to deal with in Cincinnati and the talent drain they've had, I mean, outside of Hendrickson, there's not a lot there. And I bet Jesse Bates would vouch for him. I bet he'd be thrilled to have him back.
Because, honestly, I looked at it, and I was looking at the numbers. We talked, I mean, I know this isn't exactly scientific. We spoke with some Bengals fans on social media. Some guys loved him. Some guys said, you know, obviously the Super Bowl season was amazing. You talked about Jesse Bates, the drain, the injuries. It just seemed like, here's the thing. If he comes here, he's got even less talent, Matt. Can he make it work here?
I get, look, no matter who you hire, I mean, they got a talent. They got a talent. If they don't do that, they're screwed. I don't care who they hire. But when you look at Anarumo's track record against really good quarterbacks, he's very good. I mean, he, by a mile, has given Mahomes the toughest time in his career. He went up to Buffalo in a playoff game a couple of years ago and held the Bills to 10 points. You know, they for years owned the Ravens until this past year. If you look at that guy against the best of the best, he is a very, very, very difficult coordinator to play against. And so if I'm the Falcons, I get it. The numbers weren't pretty the last couple of years in Cincinnati. I understand all that. They have given that guy nobody outside of Hendrickson and then like a couple of decent linebackers. I think you give, you know, listen, Atlanta's got to be better personnel-wise. There's no question about that. That's true of any coordinator. If they give him just even respectable talent, they will be a very tough defense to play against.
All right, Matt. So let's put it this way in brass tacks. The Falcons haven't made the playoffs in 7 seasons. If they do bring him in and they take the best defensive player available, hopefully an edge rusher at 15, does that right. automatically put them back, in your opinion, in the playoff conversation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess I'd also look at it this way. Like, if Penix had played all year long, would they have been a playoff team?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, I think, look, I'd like to see Raheem Morris a little bit better in some situational things, but I don't think he was a bad hire. I think Adam Romo would elevate that defense. And, yes, they need that rush. I mean, they brought in Judon. Judon didn't work out. They were one of the worst edge rush teams in the league this year. That's been a running theme for them. They got to get better there. They've obviously got a stud in Terrell at corner. You know, and the safeties this year were not the problem. Bates had an all-pro like a year. But they need to add some talent. But I look at Penix. I thought he played well down the stretch. I thought that offense, you know, really kind of hit its stride when he was in their last few games. And, again, if Morris can be a little bit better situationally, if they can get a tick or two better defensively, yeah, I think they're probably well.
Real quick, I know this is semantics. We do talk about this all the time because the audience is going to ask us. Is Matt Verderam joins from SI. I know you mentioned Lou Anarumo. You like his style. 4-3, we're 3-4. We don't have any linebackers. Our general manager has not shown the ability to get guys on the field that can stay on the field. So, and we don't. And with the cap hit, we'll talk about Cousins in a second. I mean, do you think we'd have a problem? I mean, philosophically going to a 4-3 if we bring in Anarumo?
I just think the Falcons are at a point where that front seven has to be overhauled anyway.
Period.
So, you know, like, is this maybe the best time to transition to another style of defense? You know, maybe. Like, and I also think that it matters less than it did years ago. You know, years ago, you always had that conversation, right? Like, 3-4, right. 4-3. Now these teams are in nickels so much anyway. Right. I don't know. Like, look, you definitely have different styles of players you want, things like that. I mean, there are certain scheme fits, but it's different now than it once was, where you were in base, you know, 60% of the time. And now, I mean, you know, most of these teams, 70% of their defense are in nickel. So I don't think it matters as much as it did, you know, 10 years ago.
Matt, is Kirk Cousins destined to the fate of Russell Wilson, or can the Falcons eke out a trade partner to take some of that money?
I never say never with a quarterback in a trade, because teams are desperate. And if the Falcons are willing to wait it out long enough, right. You know, maybe they find a taker. But you look at the past, you know, a couple of years, let's say. Russell Wilson, released. Derek Carr, not the exact same situation, but was released. Every team in the world knows that the Cousins has got to get moved off of the roster. Like, they can't. This idea that they're comfortable with him being a backup. No, they're not.
Nonsense.
And everybody in the world knows they're not. So, I mean, the problem with the Falcons, they have no leverage. And if you're Atlanta, like, are you really going to wait till June or July? Probably not, right? Like, you're not going to carry that situation all the way through. And it's not fair to the player. Like, at some point, like, you got to move off of him. So, my guess is that he's going to get cut. He'll play on a vet minimum deal, just like Russell Wilson did. Who knows? Maybe even in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then we'll go forward. But, yeah, I would be very, very surprised if he ends up getting traded. I think he's probably getting released.
Did you hear what Matt just said, guys? If you don't listen to Uncle Mike, listen to Matt. He works for Sports Illustrated. He's not going to be on the roster. I mean, we've got guys, Matt, going like, well, we'll keep him, and then hopefully, you know, somebody will get hurt, and then we'll get somebody who spent $10 million for him, and we'll only have to spend – that doesn't work.
That's not the way this works. They're not going to do that. And, you know, the other part of it, too, is like, not that teams are always really concerned about doing right by players, but in this case – that's a really bad look if they sit there and screw with this guy and wait and wait and wait. And I'm like, for what? You get a fifth-round pick? I mean, they're not – at some point, you know, the hard thing, too, is Cousins is in his mid-30s. He's got the Achilles in his background. He did not play well this year. Down the stretch, he was a disaster. Like, there's just no – what is the market? Yeah, I mean, most teams would rather just go, look – we'll roll the dice on a rookie. We'll roll the dice on a different vet. We'll roll the dice on what we have now. I mean, I just think in the end, teams that need a quarterback, they're just going to wait for Cousins to get released and or go another avenue. I don't see teams parting with draft capital, barring a unique circumstance for Cousins.
Talking all things NFL and Falcons with our buddy Matt Verderam. Make sure you check out his work at Sports Illustrated. All right, Matt. Who's going to coach the Cowboys?
You know, with Jerry, it's always an open-ended question. Like, there's been all this talk about Deion Sanders. I would never rule it out. It's the Cowboys. It's Jerry Jones. But his track record would suggest it's going to be somebody who is either a former head coach or is a very veteran assistant. You know, I don't see them going out. Like, the Ben Johnson stuff, I've seen Cowboys fans say, what about – I just don't see it happening. I think Ben Johnson, like, there's a lot of smoke about the Raiders. Liam Cohen is an interesting guy. He's younger, but he has had a lot of experience as coordinator, a couple different stops. But again, you know, Jacksonville, I think if you had to place a bet, like, where does he go? Jacksonville seems like it would have a little bit of a lead in that race. I think the Cowboys, look, they pigeonholed themselves a little bit here because they can't interview any of these guys who are still coaching. They missed that window because they waited so long to fire McCarthy. So this could be a little bit of a process. Like, they might wait this out. Now, of course, they go with Deion. They can hire him tomorrow. I also look, I'm not saying that they would do this, but Belichick, that thing still looms out there. Like, there are ways for him to get out of it in Chapel Hill, and he is really close to Jerry Jones. They have a very good relationship, the two of them. So, you know, is there a world where Jerry just makes some godfather offer and Jerry says, look, we got to win now, you know? I mean, I'm not a young man anymore, and, you know, hopefully he's got many years ahead of him, but I think, you know, that's right. Got to factor in a little. So I expect Dallas to go with either a former head coach or a coordinator who's been a coordinator for a while, who's got some veteranness to him.
Right. Yeah, Matt, I just see Jerry. I mean, he just talks in circles. We play some of the sound bites from the post game and some of the radio stuff. It's just, it goes nowhere. I mean, the Deion thing is just keep his name out there and it's a news cycle. To me, it's going to be Kellen Moore, and they'll have more years of nothing. And the Belichick thing, think about Parcells. That's the last, and even Parcells at the end, kind of like, okay, Jerry, whatever. It just seems like no big personality can coexist with Jerry Jones.
Well, and I think it's very hard because Jerry is his own person. You know, whenever I try to explain what Jerry Jones is like, and this isn't maybe a positive or a negative, it's just who he is. Like, I go to the scouting combine every year for SI in Indianapolis. And whenever the team shows up, they show up pretty non-discriminately. Like, it's not uncommon to just run into, like, Howie Roseman on the street. Like, hey, Howie, hey, like, it's just, there's just people walking around. Jerry shows up in a bus the size of a block that is covered in a Cowboys star, right? Like, you know when the Cowboys are in town. Like, no other team does that, right? Like, but Jerry, if they show up for a steak dinner at Prime 47, Jerry has blocked off an area of the restaurant and he shows up in his bus. And it's just, you know, he wants you to know he's Jerry Jones and he's there. And I think that is part of the Deion thing. I think Kellen Moore is a great shot. I mean, you mentioned the name. Again, not a former head coach, but a longtime coordinator, right? Like, he's been talked about for a long time as getting the job, or a job. I think Kellen Moore is probably, if you pin me down, who's the favorite, probably him. I just don't see them going with a young hot shot. I think they're going to go with a guy who's got some years under his name.
Matt, real quick before we let you go, Quinn Ewers declares for the NFL draft today. By default, because of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders being the only real relevant quarterbacks in the draft, does he go top 10?
No, I don't think he goes top 10. If I were him, I would have gone back and played one more year. Look, this is a bad draft for quarterbacks, so that helps him.
Right.
But he, you know, I don't know that you'd say he had a great year this year, right? So, I think it's always hard to say a quarterback's not going to go really high because they're quarterbacks. But I think he's going to be a little bit of a wild card. I'll say no. I say he goes in the first round, but it's later on in the first round.
All right, man. Great stuff as always, Matt. Hopefully we'll get a chance to pick your brain before the Super Bowl, and hopefully by then we'll have ourselves a defensive coordinator, man. Thanks again, man.
You got it. Anytime.
That's Matt Verderam, man. Follow him at SportsIllustratedSI.com as well. It is Dukes and Bell, man. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe here in Hiram. People are chowing down. You're not hearing any noise right now because guys are eating with two hands. I mean, literally, we're making wings disappear. I mean, this is a thing. It's like a pie-eating contest over here behind me. Come on down. Join the party. We'll be here till 7. The Wing Bash, where it's all the wings you can eat for a price, by the way. I keep waiting for somebody to roll in. I'm here for the free wings. No, there's a price, okay? You spend money, and then it's all the wings you can eat. There's a flat rate on the flats. Get it? We'll come back. I was talking earlier today with Grant McCauley with Chris. The Braves apparently have signed the heir apparent for Ronald Acuna. We'll explain that, and we'll talk a little Braves because another guy's up for the Hall of Fame that should be in there, or should he? We'll explain.
Wrapping it up on Dukes and Bell here live from Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. We are having a blast today. The wings are on point. Everything is going fantastic, and we've had a great crowd here all afternoon long. You just heard from our buddy Matt Verderam from SI. We talked all things Falcons and NFL with him. And Mike Bell, as we wrap up the show, interestingly enough, in the middle of football season, we have a couple of Braves notes.
Yeah, man, we spoke earlier today, and if you missed it, it was a great conversation. You can rewind on the Odyssey app and talk to Grant McCauley. And we were asking him about, like, who's this dude? Who's this cat? This Diego? What the heck? Anyway, we've got a guy who's only 16, but he's been considered one of the top international talents. It's Diego Tornes, and he's from Cuba. Got out of there, and now the Braves have been able to lock him up, and they signed him to a deal. And this is the earliest date you can put these guys out there, $3 million. And he's considered a five-tool player. And so it's funny, I said heir apparent. Like, hopefully Ronald Acuna, I'm not trying to irk people, maybe he plays for 10 more years. Yeah. I don't know. Just, you know, you worry about the knees at some point. But this is a guy that the Braves are super excited about. And as Grant said, the vision is, you know, go get the pitching in the draft, and hopefully eventually somebody from Gwinnett's going to work, or from AA, and you're going to draft and continue to develop that minor league talent through the international draft. Everyone seems to be really over the moon on this guy. And it's funny because we talked about, you know, waiting to see Acuna, who was a center fielder, is now in right field. We're going to see what, you know, Diego Torrens can be. And then it came up again because the NFL is voting, and the meetings were actually going on yesterday amongst the electors for the Hall of Fame. Baseball Hall of Fame is coming up.
Yep.
And once again, Andruw Jones. And where does he stand? And, you know, it's funny because even amongst the most dyed-in-the-wool Braves fans, even Andruw sometimes gets polarizing. You know, and look, as a guy that was on the radio for the heart of his career here, I can tell you, I'm like, stop swinging at the low and away, you know, and just go with, you know, as Chipper used to say, sometimes just take it to center field, take the single, you know, put it in the alley. And remember we had that conversation with Andruw, it was about 2 years ago, Carl and I?
Yep.
And I said, you know, because if you listen to our show, and, you know, we're not going to say something, we're not going to back up when we talk to the people we're talking about. And I said to Andruw, I said, I love you, man, and your game, you're right there behind Willie Mays as the greatest defensive center fielder. I go, it always felt like you didn't really have a plan at the plate. Is that something you think maybe you look back at? And he said, yes. He just sometimes trusted his natural athletic ability and was very instinctual at the plate. And if you could just take 20% of Tony Gwynn. Imagine what Andruw would be. Unfortunately for him, as soon as he left Atlanta, signed that big deal with the Dodgers, just fell off the table.
Yeah.
And that those averages in the post-Atlanta years take him all the way down to 254, and he doesn't have 2,000 hits, which is a big benchmark. So the argument I guess I would make is, can you do the Gale Sayers thing? It doesn't really happen in Major League Baseball. If that argument flew, Don Mattingly would already be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, take like a 5 or 6 year run where you're the best guy and you're in, and nobody seems to want to give Andruw that benefit of the doubt.
No, and you look at the, we call it whatever you want, the Terrell Davis run, like all these guys.
In the NFL, if you electrify like Gale Sayers did, and like Luke Kuechly is going to probably be in the Hall of Fame, you'll get that juice. But in baseball, it's the nerds. It's the Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. Was he in Major League Baseball for 50 freaking years? I know he's got 2,800 hits, which is literally like 1,100 more than Andruw, or 1,000 more than Andruw, but or whatever it is. It's a lot more hits than Andruw. But he did it in 22 years, and nobody outside of White Sox fans can even remember anything Harold Baines ever did. Did he ever hit a home run as a 19-year-old in the World Series? No. Did he ever climb the fence? Did he ever do some amazing stuff that made you go, holy crap, I've never seen that before because I missed Willie Mays? That's what Andruw Jones did.
Yeah, I mean, it was from 98 to 2007 where he was the premier center fielder in all of Major League Baseball. I think, you know, you could argue there were guys like Bernie Williams on the Yankees who was a stalwart and won a bunch of championships, but he wasn't the individual player that Andrew Jones was.
And he's like, he still got 400 home runs. I know some guys will say you're too close to it. I've even had some people take, I put it out there earlier today, his wins above replacement for the nerds out there, if that's something that you obsess on, is top 165. So how many guys are in the Hall of Fame? I would think, and look, you and I have had this conversation. Carl and I get into it every time Andrew Jones comes up. It's not the Hall of Great. The Hall of Fame has been so diluted, it is the Hall of Really Good. Phil Rizzuto is in the Hall of Fame, okay? There's guys from, like, when John Fricke was following baseball, when they wore the funny hats.
Warren Spahn.
In the 1870s that are in the Hall of Fame that played like 5 years. Well, Warren Spahn was great. Please, John Fricke. But the point we're getting to is it's so subjective. Can't you take a 10-year slice of Andrew Jones and say that's Hall of Fame worthy? Or you can't do that in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the Hall of Fame, while also being the barometer for the difference, supposed to be the barometer between the difference of excellent and very good, if however you parse it between who deserves to be in and not in, is also supposed to tell the tale of the history of baseball. And Andrew Jones, at times, was the best player on the best team in baseball. They didn't win the World Series every year, but they were the best team for 6-7 years in a row in baseball. They got one championship to show for it.
That's on like Bobby Cox. Certain things I would have done differently.
Yeah,
they were the same thing that this Braves generation is going through. Bobby Cox went through. They could never get out of the first round. The divisional round killed those Braves teams. How many times, as Braves fans, you hear those conversations? Well, you know, you're running into good pitching. Good pitching. You got every freaking Cy Young Award winner. No disrespect to Mad Dog, no disrespect, but give me four John Smoltzes, guys throwing in the upper 90s, and maybe you'll knock some of these guys out. Nibbling on the edges in the black of the plate doesn't always get you there. And look, Mad Dog's record speaks for itself. I'm just saying you could have used one more power arm of all the things that Cheryl's accomplished back then. And Chris, I was here. It started off with like every different lineup. You could hit and run, crime dog. Later they added when they were bashing, like, you know, Vinny Castilla and Gary Sheffield, you know, all these big, they had everything. One World Series. The one thing I would change, and I know, all right, going off the tracks here on this one, it's a sacred cow in this town, and we all love him. There's about 10 franchises in Major League Baseball that would have moved on from Bobby Cox in the early 2000s, but the Braves just don't operate that way. It's like literally, it's sacrilegious. And look, I love when I got a chance to do TV back in the old days. I get why guys love Bobby. He's that guy. But still, you just got to change it. Even just to say, look, all the variables in the equation, he's a constant. Change it. But they never would.
No, they didn't.
And I'm not. And by the way, that does not apply to Snitker, because every year Snitker has to deal with no pitching, right?
Well, yeah, they've ever had 1.5 starters the past 3 years in the playoffs.
Right.
That's part of the equation.
But this is the Andrew conversation. But it's we're off on the Braves tree, but you get the point.
No, but it all relates, because ipso facto, Mike, if they had 3 World Series rings, you know what? He's in.
Yes.
And it's not a question.
No, it's period. Look, now, I would say if you put Andrew Jones in Boston or New York, now David Ortiz has got a ton more hits. That's the thing. You look at Ortiz, and I know the guys go, he's a DH, and he did play first base at a point in his career, but he's a DH. But he was just so clutch, and unfortunately, Andrew struck out so much. That's what kills Andrew Jones. The low and away was his kryptonite, and so I do understand both sides of the argument, because there was a point when I was anti-Andrew, and then I've seen some guys go in the Hall of Fame who don't belong, like all those ridiculous numbers that are jacked up in Colorado. All the Colorado players, if anyone goes into Rockies, you should have an asterisk.
Todd Helton?
Please. Please.
Although I will say I think Larry Walker deserves to be in.
No.
No?
Okay. No.
All right, fine.
No.
Wow.
When you see the splits on some of those Rockies players when they're not in Denver, it's mind-blowing. That's me. You know, I'm too close to it with Andrew Jones.
I guess so.
Hey, man, what's coming up tonight on 92? Oh, there's a $5 fight on 92.9 The Game.
More of me. Because I'll be doing a bridge show.
Wait, so how long?
30 minutes. So.
All right, so guys, if you're coming to Hiram, to Buffalo's, and you want to see Turtle live, and in person.
Yeah.
And solo.
Yeah.
He'll get you ready for Hawks pregame because they're in Chi-Town tonight.
Yeah. And I'll once again go over who's in and who's out. That'll take 27 minutes of the 30 because everybody is out tonight. And also, I want to take some calls, Mike, because we didn't get it. We were so busy today, we didn't have a chance to take some calls on how confident are Falcons fans that they're going to get this thing right?
On a scale of what, 1 to 10?
If A to F, 1 to 10, however you want to rank
it. If I was a betting man, now he interviewed today, we talked to David Bassidy from PR. You said that Jeff Ulbrich was...
Jeff Ulbrich.
I give you 10 to 1 on Ulbrich. Maybe 5 to 1. I don't want it.
Me either.
It's too close to the situation. It's more the same. You know, I just... Go get a guy outside who can come in and go, no, he's not the... No, that... No. And if, and as we said earlier, I thought it was a great point from Matt Verderam. Only reason I bring up the 4-3 and the 3-4 is, you know why we don't have T.J. Watt? Because he's we're in a 4-3. He's more of a 3-4 guy. That was Dimitroff. That was Ulbrich who said, no, Tack McKinley. You don't want T.J. Watt. So that the reason that I always hold on to that 3-4-4-3 argument like a dog with a bone, it screwed us out of a generational talent.
Yeah.
Who absolutely would have changed the trajectory of this Falcons team, a team that you've been here now, what, 5 years? That it's literally can never, ever get edge rush right. And that's the most glaring example of a blown pick.
Yeah. And
and that's Jeff Ulbrich in the ears of Tom. I don't want him anywhere near our defense.
And in the most brutal of ironic statements, Mike Bell, they're going to have a chance to do it again because they're picking 15th and there will be some edge rushers on the board. Dare they? Dare they do it? I think they do. I think this is finally the year, because you have to.
Now, look, guys, if you go back, for instance, Vic Beasley. The year we picked Vic Beasley, Carl and I, did I ever tell you that story? We were at Stats. That was the year we always joke around. There was a bunch of women from the Midwest on some business convention, and this woman who looked like Marge Schott comes up to Carl. She goes, hey, doll, let's make some memories.
Wow. Wow.
That's why I'll never, ever forget.
Wow.
Ask Carl tomorrow. That's why I'll never, ever forget that draft. We did a draft party at Stats in Midtown or in downtown Atlanta. And that's the year we took Vic Beasley. And all that week on the radio, I go, Vic Beasley, he's got 45 sacks in his college career at Clemson, fits what we're doing. It's a no-brainer. First year was okay. Second year, we bring in Dwight Freeney, and that defense really popped. We had some good worker bees, too, guys like Babineau. That was some really good pieces. But that was that's why you need four-man front, Grady and his company. Grady in that same draft in the fifth round. Vic Beasley never loved football. You know, I'd love to interview him one day and never get that from his own mouth. But Vic, you know, had that 15 and a half sacks and then and just never the same.
And here you want
to. But that was a good pick. You can't fault Dimitroff. It was a good pick.
No, it was.
It just didn't pan out. If you want to say he got you this close to a Super Bowl, which he almost did.
And here's the unfortunate truth of where they are today. Who did the Falcons pick in the fifth round this year? I don't remember because he didn't do anything.
JT Bertrand.
JT Bertrand. Yeah, he had one sack.
We went.
He had one sack.
You had all these corners. Again, guys, I said it earlier, a bunch of guys on the text line. What do you think? We think we're making this stuff up as we go along? Go Google the 2024 NFL draft, cut down to the second round, look where we picked Rook Arojo, and then see who went after. And see who's in the playoffs. See who's starting at a position we needed. This is an issue. I really, really like Braylon Trice, and maybe D-Led's got it wrong. D-Led goes, he's just a guy, Mike. But that's a guy that I thought could be a piece. He looked great in preseason. I mean, at camp. Only saw him in one quarter, blew his knee out in Miami.
Because of course he did.
But Troy Anderson, that's on the resume. If you guys think we're being too hard on Fontenot, that's on the resume.
So is Richie Grant.
Nick Benito, six picks later, 30 sacks, 13 and a half this year. We got a guy who's played 9 games in 2 seasons.
Yeah. And the Falcons roster, unfortunately, right. Mike, is just littered with those type of players.
Well, I'm going to stop talking because we're cutting into your time.
Oh.
Yeah, man, it's time to clear our throats. Hey, man, thanks to Joe Patrick for talking to us about maybe Miguel Almiron coming back to Atlanta United. And also talking about what he thinks about the Falcons' D.C. search. Thanks to Drew Butler, who said when he was back in college in Athens, he used to murder bash night at Buffalo's Cafe. Also thanks to Matt Verderam, who joined us and talked about a wide net for the D.C., which I have no problem with. All right, brother, what's coming up next on the Chris Show?
Yeah, I'm going to take your calls at 404-726-0929. We are 4 candidates into this defensive coordinator search. How many of them do you like?
Right.
And do they get this thing right?
Chris, clear your throat.
All right, here we go, Mike Bell. The Atlanta Braves, we talked about them just now. They've snuck under the radar because of what happened to the Falcons. They need to do something, man. As presently constituted, this roster is not good enough to win a World Series, in my opinion. Your outfield needs to be retooled. Grant McCauley said as much this afternoon. Double A, you got to work your magic, and you got to work it soon.
Hey, man, I'll take you to Formula One. Now, we're a few weeks away from practice. I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see Lewis Hamilton in a Ferrari. I don't know if he's going to win anything. Sebastian Vettel couldn't win a title. But if you're looking for another reason to root for one of the most rootable guys whose dad had to mortgage his house to keep his go-karting career alive and told the head of McLaren at 9 years old, I'm going to race for you someday, and then wins a championship, pictures of Lewis Hamilton hanging out with Sofia Vergara
Ooh.
In New York.
Good job. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yes,
what a,
sir.
That's what a Formula One driver should be doing, Rockstar. If you love the show.
Tell your friends.
If you don't.
You had 1,000 free throws on your OnlyFans.
Thanks to everybody at Buffalo's Cafe.